At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Fort Worth estimates its cost to help with Hurricane Harvey will come to around $1 million. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that total covers sending firefighters and police to Houston, as well as providing emergency shelter locally to about 180 evacuees. The Fort Worth Fire Department reports it still has 7 employees and 2 trucks working in Houston. The police department says it still has 53 officers there. The money the city spends should be reimbursed by the state, which asked Fort Worth and Dallas to step in and provide shelter services and mutual aid. Meanwhile, the city council today is expected to adopt an appropriation ordinance allowing several city departments to spend the money needed for Harvey aid. Our American Graduate Champions Project profiles people making a difference in the lives of North Texas children. Jerry Hawkins heads the Bachman Lake Together Family Center in Dallas. It provides child development services and parent engagement programming for low-income families. Hawkins says Bachman Lake has a large immigrant community. Many of the families have kids under the age of 5.
Children here are surrounded by resources, not just by the program that they're in, but by multiple programs, multiple programming partners. And that's the beauty of Bachman Lake Together, is that it's a community collaboration.
When kids are placed in the program, their parents are expected to help out. Denise Gutierrez and her daughters are involved in Bachman Lake Together.
When Megan was in her class, I was also in my classroom, improving a lot of my English. I was also taking parenting classes. I was volunteering in the classroom. I feel good to be part of the community.
You can watch a video about the Bachman Lake Together Family Center at keranews.org. School segregation has been illegal since the Supreme Court handed down the landmark Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954. That doesn't mean integration has been fully realized, though. There was white flight, and across the country, some neighborhoods are trying to secede from larger school districts. Alvin Chang wrote an essay about the issue for the website Vox. It's called School Segregation Didn't Go Away, It Just Evolved. Chang talked with KERA's Chris Boyd about the more subtle ways schools managed to remain divided.
There was this massive exodus in the middle of the 20th century after Brown v. Board, a lot of white urbanites moved to suburbs. What has changed now that more families of color have begun to move into those suburbs that were at one time white havens?
There's been this quiet segregation or self-segregation in these suburbs. And as black families started to move around these traditionally white communities, they've started to clam up a little bit. But there's also a trend of some families deciding they want to move further out to non-incorporated areas. You're starting to see, as people of color are following white families into the suburbs, you're starting to see segregation in the suburbs again. And it's really interesting to see the same pattern happening. The same pattern that happened in the city is happening in these suburbs.
Okay, Alvin, I want to talk about where private schools and charter schools play into this formula. What are parents doing who feel like they don't want to be in the public school system if they can't afford to put their kids in private schools?
What you're incentivizing is you have middle-class people who feel like their districts aren't good enough or aren't using their resources in a way that they're happy with or sharing with people they don't feel like should get their money. And they are trying to find a way to opt out of that system without having the money for private schools. So essentially, you know, if it really comes down to it, this is another opt-out. When you have public education starting to benefit and skew toward the more affluent, then that's going to create a system where it hurts poor and people of color significantly more.
And magnet schools are supposed to take talented kids from all over a given district, but in a lot of places there are concerns that these special schools still end up with a disproportionate amount of privileged kids.
The idea is that there is an opportunity for poor kids, for black and Latino kids to get into these schools. But really, you're creating filters, you're creating barriers to entry for children who need it most, who need this upward mobility the most. And even with charter schools that require applications, that application doesn't seem like a big deal for a lot of families. But when you're a single mother and you don't know a whole lot about how to navigate the public education system, that application to get into a preferred charter school or even a kind of inter-district magnet school, that application is a huge barrier, and you see it in the numbers. The people who apply for these programs that are supposed to help the poor and the disadvantaged actually don't help them the most. It helps more privileged people more.
Can you explain this phrase local control? Because, you know, as we get more and more local with control over public schools, I'll confess that I don't fully understand how different those decisions would be from one neighborhood to the next.
A lot of people bring up this idea of local control in the spirit of kind of the Jeffersonian idea of local control, that local communities should be able to make decisions for themselves that best cater to their needs. The problem is when these community lines are drawn around areas of privilege. In other words, when you take the people who are doing well and saying, well, let's let those people who are doing well make their own decisions and keep their own resources, and the people who aren't doing well figure it out for themselves, then you start to hit what is kind of a death spiral.
That was KERA's Chris Boyd talking with Alvin Chang. He wrote the essay, School Segregation Didn't Go Away, It Just Evolved. It appears on the website Vox. You can listen to more of this Think conversation and subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. And the forecast, a high around 85 expected this afternoon, overnight low around 63. It's 65 degrees now in Dallas, 64 in Fort Worth.